Goodbye, my love. Chapter 1. Surprise. In the dark of the night, Lorraine Bryant walked nervously to a room, straightening her silk nightgown with sweaty palms. This was the first time she'd worn such a revealing nightgown, and she wasn't wearing any underwear, either. There was a cool breeze, and the sensation of it brushing past her skin made her tremble. Lorraine spurred herself on. There was nothing to be afraid of, she reminded herself. The man in the room was her husband, Marco Bryant, and they had been married for 3 years. A nightgown like this was made for times like this. Patting her face and taking deep, calming breaths, Lorraine knocked on the door. A man appeared, tall and strong-looking. His eyes were unfriendly and his lips were slightly pursed. He was as handsome as a god from an ancient Greek oil painting. It's late. What's up? His voice was ice cold. It was like looking at a stranger. Lorraine almost lost all the courage she had worked so hard to gather. Marco, do you remember what day it is? Marco frowned. Get to the point. The expectation in Lorraine's eyes became disappointment. Forcing a smile, she said, it's our third wedding anniversary. You've seemed so busy lately. But it doesn't matter, I prepared a surprise for you. No sooner had she finished speaking than a woman suddenly stepped out from behind Marco. She stood comfortably by his side and greeted Lorraine with a smile. Lorraine, I've heard so much about you from Marco. We haven't been introduced, have we? The woman was beautiful. Her voice was gentle, and her eyes were lively. It made people want to protect her. But the sight of the woman shocked Lorraine. She froze, feeling the warmth drain from her hands and feet. Keely? Why are you here? Though they had never met, Keely Haywood's existence had always overshadowed Lorraine's marriage like a dark cloud. The house was full of traces of Keely. All the members of the Bryant family had reminded Lorraine that Keely was Marco's woman of choice and that Lorraine was just the titular Mrs. Bryant. Noticing Lorraine's sexy nightgown, Keely lowered her eyes with embarrassment. Marco, am I disturbing you? Lorraine unleashed her hostility. Yes, obviously. The color drained from Keely's face. I'm sorry. Please don't be angry. I'll leave right away. As Keely spoke, she moved as though she were about to leave. Frowning, Marco looked at Lorraine and said, Keely is our guest, Lorraine. Watch your attitude. Standing alone at the door, Lorraine felt humiliated, as though she was stripped naked. Legally, she was his wife, but she hadn't received any respect from Marco or the Bryant family for the past 3 years. Marco was always busy with work and seldom came home, and even when he did come home, he never slept in the same room as Lorraine. Now Lorraine was being told not to be angry about seeing another woman in Marco's room. What the hell was going on? All of her efforts, patience, and expectations over the past 3 years had become nothing but a joke. Lorraine looked into Marco's eyes. What about me? She asked, her voice heavy with disappointment. Don't complicate things, Marco replied impatiently. Keely is recovering and needs rest. Which do you want, money or a gift? I'll make it up to you. Lorraine watched as Keely's eyes shone smugly. Before she knew it, she lost her temper. Marco, how do you not understand that it's never your money I want? Lorraine then spun around and left, dejected. Marco watched her leave, pinching the bridge of his nose between his eyebrows. What is wrong with her today? Keely blinked and said gently, she should be angry with me. I'll go apologize to her. Lorraine walked back into her room, changed out of her nightgown, and lay on the bed. Suddenly, there was a knock at the door. Lorraine's eyes lit up. Did Marco come to see her? Lorraine jumped out of bed and opened the door. Keely's face was all she saw. The light in Lorraine's eyes dimmed. What are you doing here? Keely got straight to the point. You and Marco might have been married for 3 years, but I'm the only one he loves. Up until recently, I was receiving treatment overseas. I didn't think I had much time left, so I let Marco leave me and marry you. But now I have recovered. I hope you'll respect our love and divorce him. Lorraine's heart ached, but she was too dignified to let Keely see her squirm. You, a mistress, are asking a wife to divorce her husband. Do you realize how ridiculous that sounds? The smile on Keely's face disappeared. Watch your mouth, Lorraine. I'm not a mistress. When it comes to love, the one who isn't loved is the mistress. Lorraine sneered. As long as I don't divorce, I'm Marco's wife and you're the mistress. Lorraine's words hit Keely hard, and she glowered ferociously. Don't get complacent, Lorraine. Let's see what Marco does when something happens to me. Will he let you go? Lorraine suddenly had a bad feeling about it. What do you want, Keely? Keely suddenly pounced on Lorraine and dragged her towards the stairs. Caught off guard, Lorraine was unable to free herself from Keely's grip. Marco! Help! Lorraine is trying to kill me. Keely threw herself down the stairs wildly, still holding onto Lorraine. Failing to break free, Lorraine was pulled down the stairs. Bang! Lorraine rolled down many flights of stairs before finally landing heavily on the floor. The repeated blows to her head created a deep wound, causing blood to start gushing out. Sharp pain coursed through her body, making her dizzy and eventually causing her to pass out. Just as everything began to fade to black, she saw Marco rushing over. He strode straight past her, choosing to pick up Keely and carry her away, leaving Lorraine to lie in a pool of her own blood. Chapter 2. I want to divorce you. In the hospital, miss, you can't go in there. The patient is still very weak and needs rest. Fuck off. I know Lorraine is in there. You can't stop me. Lorraine heard a commotion and struggled to open her eyes. Turning her head, she watched as Marina Bryant pushed the nurse away and stomped over to her, glaring ferociously with murderous intent. Lorraine, you vile woman. Keely's been struggling with recovery. How dare you push her down the stairs? Just you wait and see. Marco won't let you get away with this. Lorraine, still weak, struggled to sit up. I didn't push her, she pushed me. Marina sniffed. She didn't trust Lorraine at all. No one will believe your nonsense. Keely comes from a rich family. Why would she hurt a lowly country girl like you? You're just jealous because my brother loves her, and you want her dead. Well, that's not going to happen. Lorraine, unable to defend herself, searched desperately for clues that could prove her innocence. Just then, Marco entered the room. He seemed upset. Lorraine looked up at him hopefully, as though he was her last hope. Marco, I didn't hurt Keely. Please believe me. Marco looked down at Lorraine coldly. When he spoke, his voice was strained. Lorraine, that's enough. I don't want to hear your excuses. Wrongdoings deserve to be punished. Keely's kidney was seriously damaged by the fall, and yours is the only match. Yes. Marina shouted. You damaged Keely's kidney, so you should compensate her with one of yours. Lorraine's eyes widened in disbelief. Take her to the operating room. Marina shouted at Marco's bodyguards. The bodyguards immediately surrounded Lorraine, holding her hands and feet. Fuck off. You have no right to do this. But no matter how much Lorraine yelled, they didn't let go of her. Panicking, she turned to her husband. Marco. Lorraine hoped that her husband would do something, but Marco just stood there indifferently, as though he approved of Marina's actions. Lorraine was utterly hopeless. Any love she still had for Marco died. That was it. Their marriage had been a one-woman show from beginning to end. Clearly, there was no love for Lorraine in Marco's heart. He would believe anything Keely said, while refusing to believe Lorraine. This was the difference between true love and no love. Lorraine wouldn't rely on him anymore. Fine. You all want me to give her my kidney? Well, I'd like to see how badly Keely is hurt. Lorraine's heart pounded with rage. With her sudden burst of energy, she managed to break free from the bodyguards and rush toward the operating room. She forced her way in. It was true that Keely was lying on the operating table, but she didn't seem to be dying as Marco had said. Instead, she was awake, and other than looking pale, she appeared fine. Lorraine turned around and sneered at Marco, who followed her. Is this the serious injury you were talking about? Marco looked past Lorraine into the operating room and frowned. Marco, why is she here? I'm so scared. Keely whimpered, her eyes brimming with tears. Marco didn't have time to think too much about it. Reaching out to stop Lorraine, he said, Lorraine, enough. But Lorraine didn't want to hear anything Marco had to say. She walked past him, approached the operating table and slapped Keely hard. Clap. The crisp sound echoed through the room. Keely's face instantly turned red and began to swell. Before Keely could react, Lorraine ripped off Keely's surgical uniform. There was no wound at all, just a few bruises. Marco glowered. Lorraine had already guessed that even though Keely wanted to fake an injury, she wouldn't actually hurt herself too badly. Keely had also landed on Lorraine, meaning it would have been impossible for her to be seriously injured from the fall. What the hell is going on? Marco asked coldly. He wasn't stupid, he could tell that something was wrong with Keely's injury. The remaining color drained from Keely's face, and in a panicked voice, she tried to explain. I don't know either. I've been in a coma ever since Lorraine pushed me down the stairs. I just woke up. What kidney? The doctor must have made a mistake. Wow, what a convenient mistake. If I hadn't exposed your trick just now, I would have lost a kidney. Lorraine glared at Keely. Nonsense. Keely looked at Marco. Don't trust her, Marco. It was Lorraine who pushed me. Marco shot Keely an intense look, scaring her and making her tremble. He then turned to Lorraine and said, I will find out the truth and give you an explanation. You will be compensated with whatever you want. Looking at the man she once loved deeply, Lorraine now felt numb. Whenever she looked forward to something, Marco would disappoint her. His promise of so-called compensation meant nothing to her. No need, Lorraine muttered bitterly. What I want is to divorce you. Marco was shocked. He looked at her as though she was a stranger. It was the first time in 3 years that he was trying to understand what was on her mind. But Lorraine didn't care anymore. She turned around and left without looking back. Lorraine had barely left the hospital before she became so weak that she struggled to maintain her balance. She had pushed herself to her limits during the conflict with the bodyguards just now. Her strength was gone. Taking out her phone, she dialed a number. Soon, a black Lincoln stopped in front of Lorraine. A handsome man in a suit got out of the car. As soon as Lorraine saw him, she couldn't hold on any longer. She collapsed. The man strode forward and caught Lorraine before she hit the ground. He then picked her up in his arms. Uncle Rowan. Lorraine murmured. She then passed out in his arms. Chapter 3. The Torres family. In the hospital, the atmosphere in the room was extremely tense. Everyone was acutely aware of Marco's anger over what had just happened. Even Keely's attending doctor was trembling in fear. Throwing the report to the floor, Marco glared at the doctor and asked coldly, "Kidney rupture? She needs a kidney transplant? What the hell is this?" The doctor's forehead was slick with sweat. Unable to explain himself under Marco's scrutiny, he merely whimpered. Marco gave the doctor a final warning. "By making such a stupid mistake, you've shown me that you don't deserve to be a doctor anymore." The doctor shook like a leaf. He knew Marco was being serious. With just a few words, he would never be able to find work at a hospital ever again. Trembling, the doctor finally told the truth. "Miss Haywood ordered me to do it. I won't make the same mistake again. Please give me one more chance. Get out," Marco roared. A bodyguard immediately dragged the doctor out. Marco turned his head and studied Keeley's pale face. His eyes were full of disappointment. "You did this," he muttered coldly. Keeley panicked and, in a quivering voice, said, "Marco, I didn't mean it. It was only because Lorraine didn't like it when you were nice to me, so I was angry and I wanted to teach her a lesson." "Enough." Marco didn't want to hear it. "You wanted to teach her a lesson by making her give up a kidney? Keeley, I have been too lenient with you." Sensing that her situation was getting worse, Keeley began to cry. "Marco, I was wrong. I was just so scared. After Jorge died, I had no one to rely on, and I was ill. I was afraid you'd leave me alone after you got married. Can you forgive me?" At the sight of Keeley crying, Marco went soft. "I promised Jorge that I would take care of you, and I would keep my word." Keeley breathed a sigh of relief, and Marco continued, "But Lorraine is legally my wife. Don't play tricks on her anymore. I hope this will be the last of it." Keeley was stunned. "Marco, how can a poor country girl like Lorraine possibly deserve to be your wife? Hasn't she embarrassed you enough these past 3 years? Do you want to spend the rest of your life with her? Besides, she's so greedy, and she even wants to divorce you. I don't want to hear about my marriage from you." Marco's forbidding expression scared Keeley so much that she didn't dare say anything more. "Now, you just need to rest and think about what you've done." Marco left the ward with an air of indifference, but he couldn't help secretly feeling annoyed about Lorraine's attitude earlier. Marco hadn't expected Lorraine to mention divorce. He had never considered divorcing Lorraine. He had married her simply because he needed a wife. A lonely country girl like Lorraine, who had no one to rely on, no money and no power, was easily controlled. During their 3-year marriage, Lorraine had been an obedient and well-behaved wife, which was exactly what Marco wanted. He assumed it was acceptable to maintain this sort of marriage. If Keeley was the reason Lorraine wanted to divorce, he would explain the situation clearly to Lorraine and compensate her later. Waving over his subordinate, Marco demanded, "Bring me my wife back, and don't let anything happen to her. Also, transfer $5 million to her account." The subordinate appeared conflicted. Marco frowned. "What's wrong?" The subordinate looked uneasy. After Mrs. Bryant left the hospital, she was picked up by a man in a luxury car. "What did you say?" Marco clenched his fists. He suddenly had a feeling that things were about to get out of his control. In a low voice, Marco said, "Find her and the man. Then bring her back." Once again, Lorraine opened her eyes. This time, she wasn't in a ward, alone. She was in a warm and luxurious bedroom. "Finally, after being away from home for 3 years, you're back. Why would you do this for a man? Are you even still a Torres?" Recognizing the voice, Lorraine turned her head. A tall, strong-looking man was sitting beside the bed. His face was handsome, and he radiated authority. At the sight of family, Lorraine burst into tears. "Uncle Rowan, I was wrong. I never should have left home. I shouldn't have hurt you for an unworthy man. I'm so sorry." Rowan Torres, an official in the army, softened when he saw his favorite niece crying. He held her patiently as she sobbed. "It's okay. It's good to have you back," Rowan said gently. "Lori, your parents died in an accident, and you were lost in the countryside. We tried so hard to find you. You are the treasure of the Torres family. We won't let anyone hurt you." Just then, a graying man entered the bedroom. It was Aldo Torres, the owner of Universe Group in Vega. His presence had the power to frighten an entire city. Don't cry. Lori, you are the heir of Universe Group. Hundreds of millions of properties will be yours in the future. Whoever hurts you, let him pay. Grandpa. Lorraine buried herself in Aldo's arms. Choking through her sobs, it was as though she was finally grieving all the injustices she had suffered over the past 3 years. Aldo gently patted his granddaughter's back. Lori, your parents died young. Rowan is busy with the army, and Wesley is working abroad. You are my only heir. Please don't do anything silly. Lorraine felt warmth flood her broken heart. Grandpa, Uncle Rowan, I won't do anything so silly ever again. Rowan nodded, relieved. I'm satisfied that you know what you're doing. I'll return to the army to continue my mission. As they spoke, a figure rushed over, calling Lorraine. Lori. I've missed you so much. Lorraine's eyes widened in surprise. Jenny. What are you doing here? Jenny Fowler, Lorraine's best friend, wrapped her arms around Lorraine, raised her cute face and gave Lorraine a big smile. I came as soon as I heard that you were back. Aldo and Rowan left the bedroom so as not to disturb them. Lorraine's eyes filled with tears. To marry Marco, she had surrendered her identity as a Taurus and cut off all her connections. In the end, she had been all alone. It was not worth it. Jenny, I missed you so much. Jenny felt sorry for Lorraine. She wiped the tears from Lorraine's face, and felt a swell of anger at Marco. Did that bastard break your heart? Just you wait. I'll teach him a lesson. Wait a minute. I've made up my mind. I want a divorce. Great. Jenny beamed. You should have divorced that bastard ages ago. You are a Taurus, you can have any man you want. In fact, hold that thought. I'll call a bunch of men for you right now. Jenny was eager to find Lorraine a new boyfriend, but Lorraine stopped her. No, thanks. My career is more important right now. Thinking about what she had suffered over the past 3 years, Lorraine still had a lingering fear. Will you take over Universe Group? Kaysen is the CEO now. Ask him to arrange a position of vice president for you. Jenny suggested excitedly. Smiling, Lorraine shook her head. Why not? Jenny didn't understand. Kaysen runs the company flawlessly. I don't want to profit from his efforts. Jenny disagreed. Lori, you're overthinking it. The Taurus family's properties are all yours. Besides, Kaysen has been obedient to you since childhood. He won't object to you joining as vice president. Lorraine had a different idea. But I want to prove myself. I'm going to apply for a job in the company. I'll start off as a construction designer. Then I'll train myself up and get a feel for the company. Lorraine was confident her plan would work. Jenny was now sure that the bold and self-assured Lorraine she knew had returned. Lori, I'm sure you'll succeed in the business world with all your talent. Then you can trash Marco's company and make him kneel in front of you. Hearing his name, Lorraine froze. The trauma he had caused her was too great to heal in such a short time. No, there's no need for that, she said indifferently. I don't want anything to do with him for the rest of my life. Lorraine then opened a drawer and took out a document. In Bryant Group, Marina barged into the CEO's office and asked Marco, "Why did you suspend my card?" Marco was looking down at some document. Without raising his head, he answered, "To make you reflect on yourself." "And what am I supposed to reflect on?" "Just because Lorraine wants a divorce? It's none of my business. It was Lorraine who hurt Keely out of jealousy. I suggested she donate her kidney because I was worried about Keely. Fortunately, Keely is fine. Lorraine couldn't afford for there to be a real injury." Marina fumed. "Enough." Marco raised his head and glanced at Marina sharply. "Lorraine is my wife and your sister-in-law. It's not your place to teach her a lesson. She doesn't even deserve to be your wife or my sister-in-law. Unconvinced, Marina pouted. She said she wanted a divorce? Well, I think she was putting on an act. That sort of woman will cling to our family and try to get more money. Marco frowned. Marina's words were getting harsher. Suddenly, his assistant entered the office and handed him a document. Mr. Bryant, this is from your wife. She requested you sign it in person. See? I was right. Marina rolled her eyes disdainfully. She hasn't even been gone for long, but already her true colors are showing. She's unable to support herself, so now she's sucking up to you. What she said about divorce is all fake. Marco didn't reply. He opened the package in his hand. A bank card fell out. And there was a divorce agreement already signed by Lorraine. Chapter 5. Her greatest regret. Marina's jaw dropped once she set eyes on the divorce agreement. Does Lorraine really want a divorce? A thought suddenly occurred to Marina. Her face darkened immediately. Marco, does she want to divorce you so she can take half of your property? You can't let that happen. Don't sign the papers. Mixed feelings swirled in Marco's heart after he read through the document in a daze. On the contrary, she doesn't want anything from me, he muttered. Huh? That's impossible. Marina snatched the document from her brother. She couldn't believe her eyes. One of the clauses clearly stated that Lorraine was willing to give up any property that was supposed to be given to her as alimony. The document already had Lorraine's signature. After getting over the shock, Marina's joy knew no bounds. It was good news. This is great, Marco. Since you don't have to give her a penny, you should divorce her as soon as possible. Then you can marry Keely. The thought of doing away with Lorraine gladdened Marina's heart. She relished the thought of Lorraine being miserable after the divorce. She didn't notice Marco's face getting darker and darker. Shut up. Get out. The next second, Marco commanded Carl, take her out. And tell the security that she shouldn't be allowed into this company without my permission. Marina's eyes widened. Marco. Why are you doing this to me? I'm your sister. To her dismay, Marco paid no attention to her. Marina was thrown out of the company immediately. The office was quiet again. But there was chaos in Marco's head. He was depressed as he continued to think about Lorraine. After a few minutes, Marco picked up his phone and dialed her number. The line connected after a few rings. Why haven't you been picking up my calls? Marco asked irritably. An indifferent female voice came from the other end of the line. You must have received the divorce agreement, right? Marco asked, is that the only thing you have to say to me? Yeah, that's all. Just sign the document, so we can both be free to live our lives. Lorraine's voice was emotionless. It broke Marco's last straw of restraint. He bellowed, who was that guy that came to pick you up from the hospital? Is he the reason why you want to divorce me? You have no right to question me, Marco. Don't stress yourself about what I have to do with another man. Go find your Keely, Lorraine quipped sarcastically. Marco was speechless. He was wrong for accusing her of hurting Keely. Lorraine, why are you doing this? I told you that I would make it up to you for what Keely did. Lorraine laughed mockingly. For the last time, I don't want your money, Marco. Just give me a divorce. Sign the papers. Marco was extremely annoyed that Lorraine was being so stubborn. His hand tightened over the phone, almost crushing it. No woman had ever dared to stand up to him or turn him down. Lorraine was treating him like a rag that she couldn't wait to get rid of. What insolence! Since you insist, Lorraine, I will do as you wish. Don't regret this later. Not to worry, Marco. I won't regret it. In fact, my greatest regret is marrying you in the first place, Lorraine uttered with ridicule. She then hung up the phone. In a fit of pique, Marco appended his signature to the document. Thereafter, the divorce proceedings were fast-tracked. Marco felt that Lorraine would put the proceedings on hold at some point. But to his surprise, she allowed everything to go on smoothly. Once it was finalized, Marco didn't hear any news about Lorraine. It was as if she vanished into thin air. Marco decided to move on. However, he found himself thinking about her. This annoyed him a great deal. He sought out a way to vent his pent-up emotions. Lorraine, who was off the radar, was trying to get her life back on track. She went to Universe Group for an interview. When she saw many employees going about their duties in their beautiful corporate wear, Lorraine felt that this was where she was supposed to be. At that moment, she regretted staying married to Marco for 3 solid years. She beat herself up for not divorcing him before he could rend her heart to shreds. She decided to take charge of her life. She was going to live for herself and her family. Holding her head up high, Lorraine straightened her clothes and took a deep breath before entering the interview room. Her eyes suddenly fell on a familiar face. Vicky Archer. It came as a surprise that one of the 3 interviewers was her junior high school classmate. Vicky recognized Lorraine at a glance. Her face darkened immediately. Many years had passed, but Vicky still hadn't let go of the inveterate hatred she harbored for Lorraine. The hatred emanated from jealousy. Lorraine was inexplicably beautiful, and many boys in school wanted to be with her. On the other hand, Vicky was unable to catch the eye of any boy. Even the boy she had a crush on was obsessed with Lorraine. Now that they met again, Lorraine was a mere job seeker, while she was the interviewer who could decide her fate. The thought of sabotaging her enemy with her power made Vicky extremely happy. Lorraine Torres, right. Vicky eyed Lorraine from head to toe. She then leafed through her resume casually. So, you are divorced. Vicky chuckled, which stunned her colleagues, who couldn't understand why she was laughing at that. Graduated with honors from Preissl Institute of Art. Vicky found this hard to believe. Preissl Institute of Art was a top foreign school. How could Lorraine afford to school there? Besides, didn't she drop out of junior high school? She must be lying. Vicky became happier that she had something on Lorraine. She almost clapped her hands in excitement as she thought of humiliating Lorraine later on. With a complacent expression, she cleared her throat and said, "I hate to say this, Miss Torres. But after looking at your resume, I must say that you are not qualified to work in Universe Group." Lorraine frowned. "Why am I not qualified? Attached to my resume is a collection of designs I have worked on in the past. Not to brag, but I think they make me more than qualified for the role. I wouldn't have gotten an invite for this interview if I wasn't qualified." Vicky snorted at those words. She was of the notion that Lorraine's designs were fake since her educational background was fake. She didn't even bother looking at them. On second thought, she figured that she could humiliate Lorraine more. "I see. Since you are so confident, I have to test you." Under the astonished gazes of her colleagues, Vicky threw a document to Lorraine. "I hope you are not all mouth. This is a chance to prove yourself." Lorraine took the document confidently. It was a project of a coastal resort. The question read, "Due to the warm weather in recent years, the rising sea level rapidly erodes the island area. The resort project has been unable to forge ahead." Lorraine thought for a while before giving an answer. "The resort can be built around the island. Wooden stilts can be used on the reef covered by the sea, extending from the shore to the surface of the water, forming a fence with wooden connection blocks. On the fence, sheds can curve around the coast. French windows should be included in the design. In this way, tourists can enjoy the beautiful view of the sea. For long-term development, we should consider the ecological system of the island. Through studying the impact of local climate on the ecological system, we can reduce the use of fossil materials and establish environment-friendly facilities for sustainable tourism." Bravo! That's a great idea. Yeah. Why didn't we think of it? The two other interviewers, who had been silent, concurred with Lorraine as soon as she finished speaking. They looked at her as if they found a treasure of inestimable value. One of them uttered excitedly, "You are hired, Miss Torres. When can you start?"
"Thank you so much. I can resume tomorrow," Lorraine replied with a smile. Things weren't going the way Vicky had planned. Her face turned livid with embarrassment and fury.
"No way. I don't agree." The third interviewer frowned deeply. "Vicky, what's wrong with you today? You asked her a question more difficult than it should be. Miss Torres has proven that she's perfect for the job. Why are you still insisting that she shouldn't be hired?" In the face of her colleague's antagonism, Vicky said firmly, "I don't think this plan is her idea. Something tells me she stole it from somewhere. For your information, Lorraine and I were once classmates. She liked to cheat doing tests. It was so bad that she got expelled from school. Her qualifications are all fake. I won't allow such a liar to work in Universe Group." Vicky sneered after she finished speaking. Her lie was just perfect since Lorraine had dropped out of school. She felt that her colleagues wouldn't find out the truth even if they did a background check. The other two interviewers looked at Lorraine with suspicion. One of them put on a serious expression and said, "I'm sorry, Miss Torres. The interview is over. You may leave now."
"Wait."
Just when Lorraine was about to leave dejectedly, a low and pleasant male voice came from the door. "What a disgrace. It never crossed my mind that the interviewers could jump to conclusions without solid evidence. I'm highly disappointed. Mr. Benton." Chapter 7. Long time no see. All the interviewers sprang up to their feet as soon they saw their boss, Kason Benton. Kason was a tall and handsome young man. A pair of gold-rimmed glasses sat on his nose. His jawline was well sculpted. He usually had a gentle aura. But now, he was frowning as he looked at Vicky. "When did you all start depending on hearsay? Since Miss Torres was allegedly expelled from school for cheating, don't you think evidence should be provided?" Vicky was short of words. She had lied, so she didn't know how to provide evidence. Kason sneered at her. "It seems you can't provide evidence because there's none. You are spreading untrue rumors to taint Miss Torres' image. How despicable." Vicky's face turned pale. "You are fired," Kason declared expressionlessly. Lorraine looked at him with her eyes widened, but she kept mute.
"I'm fired."
"Why?" Vicky asked, her eyes widened in disbelief. "Isn't it obvious? An interviewer is supposed to be unbiased and fair. However, you were malicious while interviewing this job seeker. You almost caused Universe Group to lose a talent. We don't need employees like you here." Kason stood by his decision. The two other interviewers didn't dare to say anything for fear of getting caught in the crossfire. Vicky was devastated. She couldn't accept getting fired because of Lorraine. Jealousy and anger brewed inside her as Vicky stared at Lorraine, who was as calm as ever. She yelled at Kason, "This woman here isn't a talent. I won't accept this." Kason scoffed. She just solved a big problem that had been disturbing the architectural design department for a month. That's enough proof that she's talented. She's the brain we need here. Vicky couldn't retort anymore. She staggered back, holding her seat for support. It finally dawned on her that she had dug her own grave. Everything backfired, so she decided to beg for mercy. "Mr. Benton, I'm sorry. Please let me off with a warning this time since I have worked hard in this company for so many years." To Vicky's dismay, her pleas fell on deaf ears. Kason snapped his fingers. A group of security men came and took her out of the room. The suspicion that brewed in the minds of the other interviewers dissipated immediately. The interview came to an end. With her own ability,
Lorraine became an employee of the architectural design department of Universe Group. Just as Lorraine walked out of the gate, a car came to a halt in front of her, revealing Kaysen's face.
"Welcome back, Lori."
There was a gentle smile on Kaysen's face. Lorraine was in a good mood at the sight of him.
"Long time no see, Kaysen. Thanks for helping me back there."
"Oh, it was nothing.
Don't be so formal. Have you forgotten that you used to boss me around in the past?"
Kaysen quipped, laughing. The memories of their childhood swept through Lorraine's mind. She couldn't help but smile.
"Fine, I won't be so formal. That's what I'm talking about."
Lorraine shook her head at him.
"By the way, how did you know I was coming for an interview here?"
The smile on Kaysen's face slowly faded away when he heard this question.
"Well, your grandfather told me about what happened to you. I'm sorry you had to go through all that.
Let bygones be bygones."
Lorraine smiled.
"I'm starting over now."
Still, Kaysen's heart ached for her. Since she didn't want to talk about her failed marriage, he changed the topic.
"Hop in. I have made a reservation in a restaurant. Let me treat you to a nice meal to welcome you back."
Kaysen opened the car door for her gentlemanly.
"Nice. I willingly accept your invitation."
Lorraine got into the car without hesitation. After dinner, Kaysen drove her back home. Lorraine was so fagged out that she collapsed in her bed. A few minutes later, she received a call from Jenny.
"Lorraine, bad news. Check Twitter now. There are negative tweets about you there."
Sleep left Lorraine's eyes immediately. She sat up on the bed in a split second.
"What?"
Chapter 8. The clapback. Lorraine quickly logged onto Twitter and checked the trend table. Her name was the first on the list. Mark O'Brien's ex-wife is spotted with her new lover just days after divorce.
What's going on?
Confused, Lorraine scrolled down only to find pictures of her and Kaysen. These pictures captured Kaysen opening the car door as she got into the car and when they were dining together happily. The pictures were accompanied by a malicious note. According to an insider's report, the man in the photos is the current CEO of Universe Group, Kaysen Benton. After divorcing Marco, Lorraine got herself another rich man. She just got employed in Universe Group. I think there is something fishy going on. People made several wild guesses after they saw the photos. In my opinion, they are in a relationship. Perhaps she was dating him even while she was married. I think Marco divorced her after he caught her cheating.
Yeah, she seems like a pretentious bitch.
Marco probably discovered her true colors, so he divorced her. She's warming another man's bed without shame.
What a slut.
You are right. I wonder what those two CEOs saw in her. Poor Marco, he got married to a promiscuous woman. Kaysen needs to learn a lesson from him. They slandered Lorraine, making the news spread like wildfire. Lorraine and Kaysen were framed. Shortly after, Bryant Group issued a statement stating that its CEO no longer had any ties with his ex-wife. It brought the situation to a climax. The Twitter users hurled insults at Lorraine like never before. It was at this moment that Rowan Torres called Lorraine.
"This is ridiculous."
Rowan blew a short fuse as he slapped the table in front of him.
"How dare they say such malicious things about you, Lori? You suffered a lot in the hands of that bastard and his family. We are yet to settle scores with them, but they are currently playing the victim. They have stepped on our toes.
Don't worry. I will look into Bryant Group and let them know that no one dares to bully the heiress of the Torres family and go scot-free."
Lorraine knew that her uncle would use his military connections to destroy the Bryant family, so she tried to stop him.
"Uncle Rowan, please calm down."
"Why should I?
Don't tell me you still have feelings for Marco."
Rowan grew suspicious.
"Impossible. That guy disgusts me. I have already moved on."
Lorraine felt irritated at the thought of her ex-husband.
Today's occurrence proved beyond reasonable doubt that Marco was ruthless. How dare he slander her after they got divorced? Was she out of her mind before? Why did she fall in love with a scum like Marco? What bad taste! Lorraine said calmly, "Uncle Rowan, I'm not saying this because I am still in love with Marco. I just don't want you to get involved. I can handle it myself. Since he wants to play dirty, I'll show him what I am capable of." A few minutes after ending the call, another one came through. It was from Lorraine's other uncle, Wesley Torres, who was living abroad. "Lori, this is going to be so interesting. Let me help. I recently bought an entertainment company. You can use it for whatever plan you have." "Thank you, Uncle Wesley. In Bryant Group, what the fuck? Who ordered you to put out such a statement?" Marco's handsome face was red with fury at this time. The director of the public relations department trembled. "Your sister forced us." Marco's anger shot to the roof when he heard this response. Rubbing his temples, he ordered, "Delete that statement right away. Tell our people to have the topic removed."
"Yes, sir." As soon as the director of the public relations department swung into action, Carl rushed into the office with an iPad in his hand.
"Bad news, Mr. Bryant. Miss Torres just made a post." Marco took the iPad immediately. Lorraine's post was long but simple. She posted screenshots of her chat record with Marco during the 3 years they were married. The screenshots showed that she had texted him almost every day, but he never replied. There were also details of how members of the Bryant family had warned her countless times not to go to Bryant Group. This was followed by details of Marco's affair with Keely. They seemed much closer than how Lorraine and Kaysen were. Lorraine also shut down the rumor that she got the job at Universe Group because of her affiliation with Kaysen. She showed the interview question she got asked today. "In the end," Lorraine wrote, "for 3 years, I endured everything that the Bryant family did to me. Not anymore. I can beat my chest and say that I did nothing wrong to Marco while we were married." The entire post was logical. Supportive comments soon began to pour in. "Oh my God. It turns out that she's innocent. Marco was the one who cheated. Good job, Lorraine. I'm happy that you stood up for yourself by exposing that scum's true colors. The nerve of him to play the victim after all he did. This is unbelievable. Who would have thought that the wife of such a rich man lived a miserable life for so long? Indeed, all that glitters isn't gold." The public opinion took a different turn. Marco didn't really care that he was getting dragged online. His attention was on the job interview details that Lorraine posted online. He was lost in thought. Lorraine had a degree in architectural design. Marco had no idea about this. He had been married to her, but he barely knew her. And this was his fault. He hadn't tried to get to know her. As he stared at the string of messages Lorraine sent to him in the past, he felt a sense of longing. A warm feeling enveloped his heart when he remembered how she took care of him all those years. But when he read the last paragraph of her statement, he knew that she was extremely mad at him. He decided to call her to talk things out. Marco picked up his phone and dialed her number. The line didn't ring at all. It cut off immediately. She had blocked him.